Hey, it's PC Gamer Show. This week we're looking at some of the best Stardew Valley mods, and then we're talking about the long-awaited Halo 2 PC release. Stick around.
Hey everybody, it's James Davenport, and I'm here with Rachel Watts, staff writer. First time on the show?
Yes, hello, hi.
Yeah. Say hello to the world. You exist in the podcast realm now. This is it.
I do.
Yeah.
I've arrived.
Fucking bursting through the ceiling, just poosh. What are you?
I am, well.
Let's get this origin story started right. Tell us about yourself, Rachel.
I am Rachel. There we go. Oh, okay. I started PC Gamer, I'm going to say 5 months ago, 6 months ago. So I feel like relatively new compared to a lot of the people.
Damn, it like
on the site. Yeah.
Flies by.
Yeah, like it really has.
Y'all just showed up yesterday. All right. Damn.
Right. I know. Oof. So, yeah, I've been here probably, half a year.
Cool.
And yeah, the kind of games I'm into, I like story-driven games, maybe, like adventure games.
Can you name a few top of your head that, maybe not your favorites, but, you know, whatever's swirling around up there?
I can go about what I've been playing recently.
Yeah.
So I've been playing this kind of mystery game called The Flower Collectors, which is kind of like this Rear Window inspired detective mystery where you play as like a bear, like everyone's an animal.
Oh, cool.
You play as a bear in a wheelchair who's like confined to his apartment, so he gets a bit nosy and starts like looking through his binoculars onto like a plaza below, and like a murder happens and you have to kind of figure
hell
that
yeah.
out.
Love it.
So yeah, I've been playing a bit of that. I've been playing I've been playing Train Station Renovation this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, quarantine's working out well for you. I can that's
exactly.
Such a quarantine comfort game, isn't it? Isn't that just am I right?
Yeah, 100%. I'm a big fan of like House Flipper and those kind of games where so we had a question recently on PC Gamer, which is like, what's your favorite like gaming podcast, or like that's not the right word, but like game where you listen to a podcast at the same time.
Right.
And so that kind of got me along the lines of like, yeah, I started playing and started watching some Netflix and just didn't stop. And now I'm like level 5. I've got the most amazing toolkit. Oh, I'm loving it.
Wow. It is kind of the kind of game that just deletes time. It just deletes time.
Yeah, honestly, it does.
A very satisfying way. I've been meaning to get into that one. Okay, cool.
So, I mean, I'd recommend it.
Okay. Right now. Cool. So
yeah, kind of those kind of games.
I feel it. That's where I started when I was I don't know. God, it's been 5 months for you. It's 5 years in a month for me. It's crazy.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah, that's. I should show you a picture of when I first started versus now, and it's just like the hair
the
and
change.
The wrinkles and the sun.
5 years from now, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll have like super long hair.
You look so wise and cool. PC Gamer teases out the mad genius look in a lot of people.
I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Iconoclast look in a lot of people. That's rad. I love those kind of games too, and I feel like I've been away from them for a while, so I'll have to. Your presence on the website has actually been like some of the most refreshing, because I was like, oh, okay, there's that. Those we've been missing kind of that nice slice of indie narrative.
Thanks.
Coverage, I think, for a while. So
I definitely would say that I play a lot of indie games.
Nice.
So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a vibrant scene, even in tough times, I'm sure, for a lot of indie devs. But cool.
Yes.
Well, we'll have you on. We got to have you on more. So expect to see listeners out there. Expect to listen to Rachel tell us about all sorts of interesting indie games in the future and other things. Today, we're going to be talking about kind of the indie game of, gosh, probably, I don't know, this generation. Arguably, you know, there are probably other contenders up there, but I can't think of like a better success story and like perfect game for this moment than Stardew Valley, right?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like a lot of people have returned to Stardew, given the recent times, a bit of escapism, a bit of relaxation. Yeah, definitely a game of the time, right?
Control and efficacy. You can like just, I'm going to make a mayonnaise farm and do the work and you'll get a mayonnaise farm. It is pretty much a guarantee. And it's nice to have that kind of like, you know, see your work in the world. But it's also fun to flirt with villagers and, you know, explore. Yes. I keep forgetting. I always forget that there's like a whole adventuring aspect to Stardew Valley. Killing slimes in a cave.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to get back into that. And maybe you can help me because you've been, you know, Stardew Valley has found like this long, has found this huge following on PC across all platforms, really. But PC is where the modding scene is. And I think it's where we might see Stardew Valley kind of persist the longest, or at least like feel the most vibrant and experimental, because there's some pretty cool mods out there. And you've been digging up a lot of these over the past year or so. Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of gone for a lot of the mods to do with Stardew also have to do with like organization and easy access. So I've tried my best to kind of go for kind of fun ones and those kind of tool inspired ones, because you can't get carried away with like, oh, having lists and Excel spreadsheets and all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah, we probably won't bog people down with like the hardest core of the hardcore stuff. But I think what we're going to do is talk about like five of like maybe not what we would call the best Stardew Valley mods, but five, a nice spread, like you'd say, of like good mods to have, good mods to try. So
yeah, for sure.
Your kind of endorsement. Okay, cool. Why don't we, let's go. Let's start with the first mod and tell me what it is.
Yeah. I've got a list of five. So I'll start with the first one, which is Pacifist Valley.
Pacifist Valley.
We talked about how Stardew is very relaxing, but as you said, everyone forgets that there's a horrible mines filled with monsters and stuff that wants to kill you. So maybe if you're not really into that side of Stardew Valley, there's a mod that instead of attacking monsters, you can hug them instead, and they will not they will not attack you back. And so if you did want to like go in mining for resources, which you can't get anywhere else, but you're kind of like scared of the monsters down there, you can install the mod and just kind of hug them and give them a little smooch instead of attacking them with the sword.
So does the hug like sort of replace the action of the sword? Like, does it kind of like replace, instead of dying, they just kind of hang out, but you still get the reward, so to speak?
Exactly. So they're hanging out. I mean, you won't get any of the resources if you kill them out, and then you're like mining away. And if you want, you can go up to one, right click it, get a little hug, a little heart emoji will come up.
That's pretty adorable. Pretty adorable.
Yeah, so I guess this mod is really useful for if you just want to do some serious like grinding in the mines and you don't want to be put off with being attacked or being unprepared, like you haven't got everything ready. You can just switch this mod on, go in, and then just have a bit of cute fun and also get all those geodes.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, like, personally, I might, it's not that I'm like, you know, hey, look at me, I'm a gamer, I've used a sword in games before, but I don't know, it just sounds kind of nice. Like, the farming is always the point to me in Stardew Valley, and I can see it as the adventuring is a fun part of that loop for a lot of folks, but I just want to make my crops grow.
It's also kind of useful when you're looking for like a specific rare resource and you just don't want to bother with the mods. Just a way of you being able to mine as fast as possible without getting interrupted by a creepy slime or a skeleton or one of those bug things that flies around. They just kind of attack you, fly into you. So yeah, this mod's kind of cute on the top, but also it's like quite good for resource finding as well.
Cool. And that's what was the name of it again?
So it's called the Pacifist Valley mod.
Cool.
All these mods are available on Nexus Mods.
Gotcha. That was my next question. Gotcha.
Yeah. Cool. I think all of them are compatible with the recent 1.4 update.
Okay.
I think there was one of them I didn't check, but they're all in the description of each mod has a description. You can read what's up to date, what else you might need to download. But a lot of the time, you can just easily download them, put them in the Stardew folder, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Hugging all those monsters.
A great start. Good vibes for the mod list so far. All right. What else we got?
Yeah, you have to with Stardew.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
The second one is called, I think everyone who is into the Stardew Valley mod scene will know of Stardew Valley Expanded. It's just what it says on the tin. It's a bunch of new content for the game. So like, we're not just talking about, ooh, a few new characters. We're talking locations, character events, new NPCs, new tools. Like, there's just a massive like list of new additions to the game. I don't know how long it took this person. I think it's one person. But yeah, it just completely revamps the game. Like, before the most recent update, Stardew didn't really have like a massive recent rehaul. So this was like a way for players to like get like just a completely different experience of the game. So gotcha. Yeah, that's definitely one that was... that's like top of everyone's list. Like, when I was like looking around to have a look, see what the best mods were, like everyone was talking about, like Stardew Valley Expanded. It's just really cool.
Do you typically play with a lot of mods installed, or are you just more curious to see what's out there? I kind of want to know what your setup is.
So I normally have a couple of farms going at once for different purposes.
All right.
So I have like a straight up vanilla classic farm where you just play the game as normal. Then I have another farm for these kind of mods where it expands it, but not to the point where like crazy stuff is going on. And then I have another farm for where I can just install a bunch of testing mods, random stuff. What happens when I install this? Who knows? Will it break the game? Maybe.
You've got what you're describing is basically like a science lab. You've got like a control...
Yeah.
Just imagine a lab coat with your three farms just like throwing mods into
them. Yeah, for sure.
Like little chemical bottles.
I spy a new mod. I'm like, which farm will be the test subject for this one? When you have something you've worked so hard for, you don't want to ruin it. And I definitely with Stardew, my first farm is precious to me.
I understand.
So yeah, this mod is like a must play. Like, I would, if these were numbered, they're not, but this would probably be number one.
Right.
For
this
sure.
is kind of like the overhaul you gotta do. Just kind of right now. Cool.
Yeah, for sure. Gotcha. Yeah.
Cool. What else we got?
So the next one is this is a bit more of a tool aspect, but one that I downloaded it, changed my experience forever, which is the NPC map locations. A lot of the time in Stardew, everyone, all the characters have their own routines, schedules, and finding them can honestly be just like a hunt. You're hunting them down. So this mod on your map, you can see in real time where characters are moving. Mm-hmm. Like the map is more detailed than the one in the normal base game. So you can see buildings, like it's a wider map as well. So you can see like the full extent of Stardew, mm-hmm. not just like the central town. So yeah, if you want to go see, if you're pursuing a character, you want to know where they are, you can open up your map.
Yeah.
See their little icon and go find them instead of riding around Stardew Valley on your horse being like, well, where's Harvey today? Like, I can't find him anywhere. Why is he not in the hospital, that kind of stuff.
That's how most normal marriages start, by having your interests location tracked at all times.
Like, where are they?
Where are you? I have a gift.
A tracking app. Yeah, no mobiles in Stardew, so no one's going to tweet where they are, so you got to find them.
That's true.
In some way.
Well, right on. That sounds like kind of like a must-have utility, especially because that was a pain in the ass when I was playing. It was definitely a pain in the ass.
Yeah, for sure. There are like a couple little mods like that. So yeah. NPC map locations is one. Just like little mods like putting grids in the game so you can know where you're planting your crops, right?
Hey, Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Please. Please.
Imagine if Animal Crossing came to PC, all the mods and tools you could get for that would be amazing.
Kind of hurts to play. Like, I'm loving Animal Crossing, But man, like it kind of hurts being a PC gamer and you just kind of like being so spoiled by little quality of life things.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. It's the accuracy of it as well.
Yeah. Just like I can't tell you how many times I've just totally whiffed with the shovel. And
yes,
it's like a half second of my life I'll never get back. At least it was a pleasant half second, in a cartoon world that I feel nice in, but whatever. Okay.
So yeah, not in Stardew though. Stardew, we like precision. Mm-hmm. We like accuracy, efficiency.
Yes. Yeah. Very, very utilitarian game.
Yeah, for sure. And that kind of ties in with the next mod, which is it's the look up anything mod. So the idea with this one is that you know, Stardew has a lot of information that is not really, it's kind of hidden from the player. Mm-hmm. Like, you know when certain crops are going to grow, but you don't, like, you could get, like, lost, you could lose track of time or, like, just forget about when is the proper time to gather them up, or with certain characters, they have favorite gifts. And so there's a lot of stuff that without a wiki, you wouldn't really know about. And so this look up anything mod is you can hover your mouse over any crop, any tool, any character. You can press F1 and it will tell you everything about that character or object. So for instance, with crops, it will tell you how many more days it takes for it to be fully ripe. With characters, it will give you the list of everything they like and dislike. With enemies, there's a HP bar, just like all those kind of like little details to like make your life easier instead of opening up a browser, finding the wiki and being like, oh wow, Leah doesn't actually like oranges or whatever that much, you know?
So yeah, that's so helpful. It just kind of surfaces the kind of stuff you would Google anyway, gives you that information right there in the game.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think someone just had the idea of like just put the Stardew Valley wiki in the game, but in a way that doesn't like overload you with information.
Like, that's wild. I mean, like,
yeah,
folks are, you're all so talented. Like, that's a huge,
it's really cool.
Design challenge. First of all, and just doing it because you like this.
Anyway, yeah.
Thank you, modders.
A lot of these mods as well are either created by like one or two people, like. Some of the times they will take assets or take code from like other mods to kind of help their own. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time it's just one person who really loves Stardew Valley and they just think this would be a really great addition. And they're right. It's a really great addition to the game.
Yeah. You know, I'm very hungry for this kind of thing. I'm playing, again, another console game. Console games, right?
Console games.
I love my console games. I'm playing Persona 5. And it's a very good quarantine game right now because it lasts forever. Interesting game, but I want all my friends to like me as much as possible. So
yes,
I mean, like, and the dialogue is such that like it's kind of hard to tell what the best choice is. I don't know if it's a translation thing or a cultural, you know, difference thing or what, but I got my phone open to the wiki.
Exactly the same. I was like, I need to know how to make everyone love me in the best possible way. I think with most games I do that just because I want things to go smoothly. If you're pursuing someone, you know, it just helps. Having that in the game, it's probably a more of a cheat mod. But when you've been playing Stardew for ages, it's just something that's easy.
It makes sense.
Nothing really surprises you. So, yeah.
It's removing that friction, that tiny bit of friction for the long time Stardew Valley player. That sounds totally fine. Cool. Right on. And what was that one more time? Sorry.
Look up anything.
Look up anything. Cool.
Yeah. All right. I'll run through them all really quickly at the end, just in case anyone wants to know. Right on. So yeah, the last one is the tractor mod, which playing Stardew Valley, and it just doesn't make sense that you don't have what every farm in real life has, which is a tractor.
It absolutely.
So yeah, so the idea with the tractor mod is that you, after you install it, you go to Robin and ask her to build you a tractor garage. It takes one or two days, and then you have this big old tractor that you can ride. And essentially what you can do is ask the tractor to either like mass fertilize your crops. It can act as a scythe for collecting crops. It can till the dirt. So the idea with this is that if you have like a, you know, if you're going for a really big bulky farm mm-hmm. with loads of farmland, you don't want to be doing that one square, two square, like action. If you're looking for mass production, the tractor mod is just a really great way of just getting all that super fast, doing farming super fast, especially when you're on a time limit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one that I didn't really think about too much. But then when I started using it, like I didn't think I needed it. But when I had it, I was like, it's amazing.
I can imagine that would be hard to go back from. But, you know, it depends on what you're going for. Are you going for that genteel, like salt of the earth, I'm doing this with my hands, tiny little community farm? Or are you like, you're trying to be yeah. a big shot? The farming.
You want
world.
All the money as fast as possible. Yes, yeah. That's definitely the second group of players in that respect. If you're going for more like a personal touch, then maybe not. But it looks quite nice as well. If you're designing a farm that like you wanted to aesthetically look nice, you can have the tractor and just not use it, and it can just be in the garage.
Okay. A little prop too. Flavor. Mm-hmm. Good.
So it can be for both groups, I guess. But yeah, I mean, when you want to make all that money in Stardew, you need to do it fast and efficiently. So a tractor really helps out with that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Right on.
So yeah, that was my list, really. Those all five.
Beautiful. Those are all okay. Let's run through them again one more time. We got mm-hmm. number one.
So number one was the Pacifist Valley mod. So the cuddling one.
Cuddling.
Then we had Stardew Valley Expanded, which is the really big overhaul. We had NPC map locations, so where you can find out where everyone is at all possible times. A bit creepy, but it's great. The Look Up Anything mod, where you can press F1 and have a look at characters, objects, monsters, information.
Right.
And then Tractor mod, which is just for more efficient farming, bulk farming.
Gotcha. And mm-hmm. I mean, there are so many more, and we have a bigger list of kind of like
yes
mods broken down. Where can people?
Yeah, so our list is like split into certain sections as well of utilities, cheats, visual overhauls, and just generally good ones that don't really fit anywhere. Mm-hmm. But it's really big. It's great, and yeah, all these five are on that list, and there's so many more.
Yeah, go to PCGamer.com and, you know, search Stardew Valley or just search Stardew Valley PC Gamer mods in Google and it'll be up there because Rachel takes nice care of that list. It's like its own little farm she tends to.
Exactly. That is such a nice way of putting it.
Stardew Valley, though, since we have a little extra time, I kind of want to talk. Maybe we can talk about, because gosh, how long has this game been going? Like, is it three or four years?
Yeah, it's been, I think it's 4 years. I don't actually remember the date. But yeah, it's been a long time. It celebrated its fourth anniversary recently. So wow. Yeah, it's 4 years old, still, which is amazing.
Still trucking along pretty healthily. I kind of want to wonder, or ask you, excuse me, what's the state of the game right now? Kind of like, and what's the trajectory, as far as you can tell, of it going mm-hmm. forward?
So I think I mentioned earlier that Stardew's had a massive 1.4 update. Mm-hmm. To be fair to the creator, Eric Baroni, like since the game is released, he has been so good at releasing bulky free updates. And I think that's really amazing from a developer perspective as well. To do that is really awesome. Like, he loves the community, he loves the players, and so yeah, we had the big 1.4 overhaul. I think it was February, like just earlier this year. The word is he's working on other games as well. Ages ago in
other games ago. are I remember that tweet blew up.
Everyone got very excited. So yeah, he's working on another game. I don't think he's really given any information out about what it is exactly. Mm-hmm. He's not with Chucklefish anymore, so it'll be interesting to see if he picks up another publisher or what he decides to do in that respect. But yeah, so I think in regards to Stardew Valley, I don't think he'll ever abandon it, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what kind of game he works on next. Because Stardew was pretty great.
It's kind of like, excuse me, froggy this morning. It's kind of like the final, you know, Harvest Moon farming sim. Like, do we need, what do we need, like, let me ask you, because you're clearly like an expert in the field.
Thank you.
Do you get excited about the prospect of a Stardew Valley 2, or do you get more excited about like the current Stardew Valley continuing to grow and expand?
I think Stardew Valley is just such a big game in general. I know that sounds kind of weird when you know, bring it in with the likes of like The Witcher 3 is huge and or every other games, but in terms of like farming, the scope of farming, Stardew Valley's pretty much got it all. Like, something that, you know, if there's anything that needs to be improved of, like, he'll get to it, or mods will handle it. I just don't know what would be in a Stardew Valley 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if it didn't focus on farming, I'm not sure what it would focus on, really. So for me, I'm excited for a completely new project. Like, he's obviously a very talented dude with a wholesome heart. Like, Stardew Valley has just this atmosphere, this vibe to it that just no other game has. And it came out at a time where there really weren't any other kind of those kind of games. Like, as you said, Harvest Moon released God knows how many years before.
Yeah.
And so when he released Stardew Valley, it really was something completely different for PC gamers anyway. And so I don't expect him to hit that same note again, because that's really monumental. But I'm really looking forward to seeing like what he tackles next, what topic or gameplay style even. I'm sure it'll be a life sim, because that seems to be something he's quite passionate about. But I don't know. I don't know what. No idea.
I'm sure it'll be charming and fun, whatever it is.
Yes, definitely. And I think we definitely need more of those games, those type of games, right now.
Again, it's kind of like, why am I playing Animal Crossing? Why am I playing Persona right now? It's for these sort of routines, these simulations of quote unquote normal life.
Yeah.
That, we can't quite, you know, grasp right now. And so
exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's amazing. And I feel very lucky that we, it's our job to like pull out these games and kind of highlight them and share them.
Oh yeah, for sure.
With folks. But also that we
don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love shooting demons in the face in Doom, but I have time for just picking up weeds, foraging for berries in Stardew.
Yes.
And at the moment I want to do the latter. Like, I need that. Like, same with going right back to train station renovation. Like, just the types of games where you can just take your mind off it. I wouldn't say it was what's the word? Like, boring or mundane. That's the word. Yeah. Mundane. But like that kind of style of gameplay where you're just sitting back, relaxing, and just not thinking about the now.
Yeah, there's probably a German word for it that we don't have. That is, it literally means mundane but pleasant and meditative. I don't know, repetitive rote tasks.
Yes,
it's the kind of thing that it feels good on a very basic human level. So I'm with you there. And I mean, if anything, like, Stardew Valley has spawned sort of a delayed wave of imitators that some came out immediately and some are still coming out. There's a lot of cool stuff like on the horizon. I know we mentioned Chucklefish. Are they publishing? Is it Witchbrook? Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm thinking of? Is that what
it's called?
Which sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
Is it actually just a like wizard school simulation, pretty much?
Yeah, from what I know, yeah, it's like a, I think it's like a witch, yeah, witch wizard school.
Yeah.
Where basically a life sim where you live out the life of being a witch, which looks, and it looks really nice as well. Yeah. Like the pixel art is something that they do so well. Their games are known for like having like stunning artwork. So all the GIFs and all the screenshots I've seen, it looks very charming. So cool. I think that's why a lot of people think he's attached to the project. I think it's just like a similar vibe of game.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any other ones you're looking forward to, or any other pleasant games that you want to like shout since we got you here? Put you on the spot.
Let me think. There is a game. Best Friends Forever.
Best Friends
Forever. It's the dog adoption game that's coming out.
Oh my God. Yeah, like it just like bullseyed my heart. I didn't expect to see that coming. I'm almost like out of breath.
Yeah, so it was supposed to come out earlier this year, but like many projects, it's been delayed a little. I think it's supposed to come out either next month or the month after. It's basically a game where you run a dog sanctuary or a dog adoption agency, and you just look after the pups and then try and get them adopted. And it's supposed to be very nice and wholesome. And why was it delayed? I need it right now. So from the top of my head, that one definitely sticks out.
Oh my God. That's literally my life right now, as I'm trying to adopt a dog, or trying not to immediately adopt a dog, trying not to go there quite yet. God damn it.
Yeah.
So let's play this game and exercise that out.
I'm trying to think who's developing it, but I can't think from the top of my head right now. But I think if you just type in "Best Friend Forever dog adoption game,"
it will
pop out. They definitely have a Steam page because they had they were planning to have a demo, so they've got a Steam page. Cool. Though. Yes, for sure. Right. I'm sure that will help out the developers as well if you wishlist it.
Yeah, yeah. Right on. Well, that was very insightful and pleasant. A nice break from. I mean, a lot of good games have come out this year, but I mean, like reviewing Doom Eternal and spending a lot of time in that world is high tension, high stress.
I heard this one in particular is very intense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was reviewing that in a short period of time, frayed my nerves a little bit. But and in this nerve fraying era of time, I think these games that knit them back together are very, very valuable. So thank you for sharing those mods and the ways people can improve or alter their Stardew Valley experience. Maybe
that's all right.
Y'all should start three little petri dishes like Rachel here. Get a couple farms going. Why not?
You know what? I'm sure like players have all sorts of farms. I feel like my three is nothing compared to some of the other stuff people got going on.
It's baby shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Cool. Well, thanks again, Rachel. We'll have you on soon.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. People can follow you. What's your Twitter handle? You want to just shout? You care about that? We can hide you from the gamers, but if you want to share it, why not?
No, that's fine. It's Rachel_Watts.
Boom.
So RACHEL _ and then I've got three T's. I couldn't get the two T's.
Three T's?
I had to go for the three T's.
Wow, I didn't even notice that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, next up, who am I talking to? I'm talking to George and Wes, and we're getting back to the violent shit, shooting aliens in the face with Halo 2. It's on a PC now. Let's see what they think about it. We're back. George, Jimenez, Wes, Fenlon.
Hello.
Bunch of Halo nerds. Bunch of Halo bros.
Halo nerds. Halo cool guys.
Halo cool.
Hey, Halo cool guys. I love bees. Finish the fight. The Arbiter.
Yeah.
The Pillar of Fire.
No, that's the Pillar of Autumn, George. Come on.
Oh, the Truth and Reconciliation. The Prophet of Truth. There's some good dumb names in Halo. Let me tell you.
Good words. Just nouns.
Assault Halo rifles. Nouns. Oh, no. Nobody likes assault rifles. Shit.
No. No one does. Halo 2, it is part of the Master Chief Collection on PC now. It's out. Came out at 8 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday or something. pretty interesting release time to match up with like some server restrictions or bandwidth restrictions across the world.
Weird times right now. Everyone at home using all of their internet bandwidth at all times. You gotta release your game at off hours, I guess.
8 p.m. Hey, I mean, that's when I'll be playing it anyway. But it's kind of, for me, this is like the big one. This is the big one. Where does this sit for you two in terms of like, because everyone's got their Halo, you know, we're all a couple years apart in different directions. But George, is this your Halo? Is this the one for you?
This is probably the Halo I put the most time in competitively. I was a freshman in college when the first one came out. So I did the midnight release. I did the weird I Love Bees ARG where if you figured out the clue, you can find a movie theater in New York that would have let you play Halo 2 on a big screen. So my friends and I scrambled there and we were like the very last ones before they did the cutoff.
Yeah.
Wow. Letting people in. So it was like we got to play Halo 2 like weeks before it came out.
Damn.
As like a civilian on a big screen. And you're like, this is wild. Because remember, it was the first Halo that was on Xbox Live for the first time. So you'd have to do this weird GameSpy Xbox Kinect thing like you did with the original Xbox.
Oh, yeah. Did you actually play Halo 1 Xbox over the internet?
Yeah. So it was GameSpy at the time. They had the software that you could just pipe in. You basically tricked your Xbox into thinking it was doing a LAN party.
I remember this.
And yeah, and then you had severe host advantage because you would play people from like New Zealand and they couldn't get a shot edgewise. You're like, man, we're really good. We just like beat those guys 50 to 10. You're like, we're excellent Halo players.
On your like 1.5 megabit DSL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I would say this one is not the big one for me, but it is maybe the one I played the most of. Like, it's definitely a toss-up between Halo 2 and Halo 3 hours spent. Halo 3 is, like, the one that I ultimately care about the most and think is the best, but, like, Halo 2 is right behind it. So it's pretty cool to see this on PC. It's the one that I think I will actually come back to and play semi-regularly versus, like, Reach, which I played through the campaign. Yeah. That's cool. Halo 1 is sort of like, it's almost more of a deliberate nostalgia hit if you're just like, oh, let's go play like pitch for the hell of it. But I'm not going to just like hop into matchmaking in Halo 1 anything. Halo 2, I think I might actually do that somewhere regularly.
Yeah, I feel that. I think Halo 2 is my big one. Halo 1 on PC with mods and like, you know, it was made to be shared across our school network and played in the beginning and ending moments of every class, you know, squeezing it in. But Halo 2 is the one where I was in high school and part of this youth group, a Christian youth group at the time, but we didn't really have lessons or study at all. It was basically just an excuse to hang out, eat pizza, and play Halo 2 or watch Lord of the Rings Extended Edition on repeat. And
so, like, we're Doom and Quake off the table because that's way too demonic, but Halo, like, passed the, squeezed in under the bar.
I'm not a man of faith and was not then. So, you know, I was heading to the Radio Shack. In the back of our Radio Shack, we had a cafe, PC gaming cafe, and you know, I got my Doom and Quake and CS in. Just don't tell my leader. But yeah, I remember like this is we pulled all nighters with Halo 2. We would set up, you know, get all the Xboxes together and hijack someone's basement and do the whole thing. I feel sorry for all the parents who had to host those, but this was sort of like a very formative game for me. Less so with Halo
3. How many CRTs did you load into the back of pickup trucks?
I mean, I probably owe, I owe probably my job at PC Gamer to Halo 2 on Xbox, strangely enough, because it's what taught me about LAN as a concept. And once I figured out, like, the Xbox has, like, a built-in kind of feature, I learned how, with my buddies, to set up our own local area networks, and we would literally like bring those big off-white CRT chunky compacts from passed down like over thousands of years and set up little LANs and play our Quakes and our Unreals and
everything like that. So thank you.
So easy, Halo. Now. We just launch it from Steam.
But yeah, it's out, and Wes and George, I have had barely any time to like pop into this. Just this morning, I kind of played the first campaign mission and swap back and forth between the anniversary and classic graphics like nonstop the whole time. It was a lot of fun. I kind of want to build
such a cool feature.
I want to get like a virtual keyboard press going and like play the entire game while it's switching back and forth the entire time.
See if every 5 seconds or something.
Yeah. See if I can pull that off. But so you guys have played a good amount of it. Wes, your thoughts across the whole package, early thoughts across the whole package are up on the site. So if you want a deep dive right now, go check that out. But let's just kind of go over how this works and how it's looking and running on PC. Starting with, I think, the campaign. It's how we start most Halo games, I think, is playing the campaign while the multiplayer persists.
I can kind of like run through what's there.
So Halo 2 good call.
In the MCC is, it's East for the 10-year anniversary of Halo 2, so 2014. I think that was actually the launch of the Master Chief Collection, if I remember right, on Xbox. This was like their big thing is, hey, we did the anniversary release of Halo 2. They'd done the same thing for Halo 1. This one, I think, was a lot better received on the campaign end artistically. Mm-hmm. Like, they had more to work with, and they did a really good job with the anniversary graphic. Looks pretty good, I think, just like art direction-wise. It looks really nice. The original game, the original Halo also had a lot of like very generic repeating abilities you go through, like the Forerunner architecture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the anniversary update didn't look great as a result because they kind of just took those designs, added a little bit of decor to them, but you're still just seeing the same shit over and over again. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this one looks really nice, switch between classic and new graphics. It has pre-rendered cutscenes instead of the original's in-engine cutscenes that are done by the studio Blur. I think they've done a ton of CG stuff, but the thing that I always think of them for was this Halo ad they did for Halo 3 called Starry Night before that game came out. It has like throwing down the bubble shield and shit. It was like
a big
deal at the time. The cutscenes look pretty good. I don't love like the style they went for. They're like a little more realistic looking, I guess. Like they're a little weird.
It almost feels like there's something with the lighting and the lens too. Like there's like a little film over the lens or something, like greasy kind of something that make it looks like almost like the camera is in the shot.
And I feel like one strange problem too is like I think they're a little bit low bit rate or quality for PC. Like they are not forks of those cutscenes, I don't think. So those look all right. It is really cool that with the graphic switching feature, you can switch even during those cutscenes. So you can be watching this pre-rendered CG, amazingly detailed animated cutscene, and then swap to the original in-game, in-engine cutscene with like very low polygon facial models and stuff of characters talking. Yeah, like, whoa.
Yeah, it's those moments where I remember at the time when I played the game back away, you know, way back then, and you're like, man, this might be the most impressive looking game I've ever seen. Most impressive shooter I've seen so far. And then you go back and like, man, what was I? Okay, we've come a long way.
Something's so persistent. That's pretty impressive. I think like the camera direction and just like I don't know. I was like, because I was playing with the filter off at first, and there's a lot of cutscenes up front, you know, and there's a real like pacing and sense of like cinematic practice, I guess, like of the industrial mode of like action movie dialogue pacing, like the way the camera like frames Master Chief to make him look fucking huge all the time, and like his one-liners. I don't know, like that stuff persists in a really good way. But you are right, it is an old game.
That was all a big upgrade too from the first game, especially at the time, because Halo 1 had like these amazing big environments, but it also made Master Chief, who's supposed to be like 7 feet tall, look super fucking dinky in every cutscene. It's like he looks like he's just a tiny little man. So they really like figured out how to do more cutscenes and stuff in the second one. But anyway, the other component of it is multiplayer, and this is kind of weird. So it has all the entirety of Halo 2 classic multiplayer in there. So mm-hmm. all of the maps that came out with the map packs, even like the Halo Vista maps that were never on the console. And then there's like two of those, I think. And then it has Halo 2 Anniversary multiplayer, which got a similar facelift to the campaign. So they re-skinned like seven maps, like kind of the ones you would expect, like Lockouts in there, Coagulation, or, you know, Blood Gulch is in there. Zanzibar Last Resort is in there. And then a few other ones. And that also has like a redone UI. It has redone like notification kind of thing, like when somebody takes your flag and capture the flag, it has a little timer to tell you like how long it's going to take to reset. Little touches like that that aren't in the original
game. there's even area call outs, so if you're in a certain area, it's like, hey, you're on the hill. So if you're communicating with your teammates, it's like, hey, I'm here on the hill, and everyone kind of knows where it is, and everything has an official title on the map, which is always fun.
Nice. Yeah, I think that came, they actually Ash maybe, and then because Halo 2 Anniversary is obviously much needed that in. That's a really cool feature that I loved in the later Halo games. And that's pretty much the package. And like the way it works with the other Master Chief Collection games, you can kind of just, if you're going into multiplayer, you can toggle like which games and which modes you want to play in. So you can be like, oh, I'm in the mood for like action sack, random stuff, and capture the flag. And you can tick those modes. And then you can say, and I want to play those modes in Halo 2 Anniversary and Halo 1, but not Halo 2 Classic. Mm-hmm. For some reason, which games you want to play. And it'll just search for other people in matchmaking and pair you up. So it's pretty convenient way to just pick whatever Halo experience you want and queue right into it. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's only going to get deeper. It's going to be, I'm really excited for when Halo 3 is out, at least, and we can just do a weird party mix of fucking everything and see if our brain can keep up with the tiny tiny differences between the control schemes and systems.
Yeah, not having a sprint button is weird.
It's really weird
because I'm like, he's a cybernetic super soldier, he should be able to go faster than this. And going back, it definitely just show its age when you're playing. Because Wes, remember the big selling point for Halo 2 was hey, Master Chief can hold two guns now.
Also, he can board vehicles. That was a big deal.
Yes, he can hijack vehicles. But, oh man!
But you're right. Two guns was on the cover. not a lot in this new release, but back in the day, certainly.
Yeah, two guns was a selling point, and then if you took Halo like seriously, competitively, you did not pick up two guns. It was kind of dumb to pick up two guns. It was all battle rifles and range weapons, and like, no, you were not getting it in anyone's face unless you had the plasma sword.
Yeah.
So many good flashbacks while I was playing this game.
Yeah, I mean, Halo 2 was very much, and I guess kind of every Halo after that, is sort of like, it shows, it's very much like Smash Bros. In that disparity of like the people who play it really seriously and the people who play it just kind of for fun is like, oh yeah, I'm going to like pick up two needlers, or I'm going to pick up the SMG and the pistol and use that. And then people play it competitively are like, why is there... are there guns in this game other than the battle rifle? Stop it. Just give me the battle rifle. And like, same with the pistol, right? And like Halo 1 is like why are you picking the pistol if it's not a sniper rifle? You idiot. You rube. Yeah. Put it down and stop playing this game. Smash Bros. Is the same way with like people play for fun with items and stuff. And then competitive people are like, you're trash. Why would you use items?
You're the worst. And then remember, there's a segment of competitive Halo players who only play SWAT, which is no shields and only battle rifles. So it's just so then it just turns into a weird Call of Duty or like a weird like CSGO hybrid, which I was not a big fan of. But I don't know what's wrong with these SWAT people. I don't like it.
I do really enjoy SWAT, but only as a not as the only mode I would play. It's sort of just like you get in there. Yeah, it's fun to like get those quick kills, but it's not ultimately what Halo is all about, which is like managing your shields, getting team fire onto a person,
fighting the map. Fighting for power weapons. Like I, at some point, I think I was doing Zanzibar where I was instinctively, if someone picked up the plasma sword, my head was, my body clock kicked in to when I knew when it was going to respawn and when the stealth camo was going to respawn also, where I was like, all right, I'm going to pick it up before they do. And you get these weird fights over power weapons, which is the right way you're supposed to play Halo 2.
Like, it's a really satisfying element of Halo and some other, I guess, like arena style shooters that existed at that time that I don't think really exist. Things are just built around loadouts. You pick a gun, you take. And I love that aspect of control the map and understand, like, okay, if somebody picked up the rockets, they're on a 1 minute respawn or 2 minute respawn or something. You need to be in control of that segment of the map in 2 minutes from now, or else they're just going to get the rockets again and they're going to keep blasting you with them. Like,
yeah, and that or was... you know the rockets has 5 rounds, so you're already, all right, he killed 2 people already, I know he has 3 rounds left. If I can get him to fire at least 2 rounds to kill me, then he's got 1 left and my team can maybe take him. And you start getting in this weird like mental gymnastics of it's, oh man,
it's card counting.
When is your warthog gonna be safe?
How does it work though? Like, is this performing well? Because this is, again, this is going to be the multiplayer game for a lot of the one Halo people spend a lot of time in online. Is it working all right? Is it, does it mesh well with the Master Chief Collection kind of shell? Are you having any technical issues? What's up?
Now, I would say it's mostly good.
Yeah.
If you're just run into some little things here and there, but like nothing that's too problematic.
Yeah.
I felt like even though the remastered audio is quite good compared to the original game, just like has a lot more depth to it. I felt like the voices sounded really poor to me in the first couple levels, just like the Marines and like Johnson's voice. And I don't know if it's something wrong with this release or if it's like the fact that the assets they had date back to 2004 and were just pretty low quality at that time.
That's what it seems like. Yeah. I think it's just, I don't think they re-recorded any of these lines because it was like hearing the first two Marines, which is Michelle Rodriguez and David Cross. As the first two Space Marines, that was also also had like some random celebrity cameos in there. I have no real technical issues as far as the competitive multiplayer side. I was trying to play some co-op with Wes yesterday and I was running into some like really strange hitching, but it might have been because Wes was hosting me on this laggy gaming laptop.
Oh, across the US. Yeah.
Yeah, across the US. Yeah.
I was on Ethernet, but we were across the US, which, you know, so you were probably connecting to a California server, which isn't going to be ideal.
Yeah. But that level, that one level that we were doing where we were chasing down the giant scarab and then getting on the bridge to hop on top of the scarab to blow it up was just, wow, just great level design.
Yeah. The scale still hold up. I kind of like, I got that impression while playing Reach, which is one of the more recent Halos. I was like, yeah, sometimes you get a hit of the scale, the sandbox shooting. And I kind of wonder, like, do you still feel that in Halo 2? Does it still, that sandbox shooting still carry over? Do you get these cool big arenas? Do you feel sort of the same kind of choice and dynamism when you're running through?
Halo 3 and Reach are the ones that like really did that super well.
Gotcha.
Halo 2 definitely has a sense of scope to it, but not like, I think it just isn't full of as many AI kind of pockets of AI to run up into as those later games, but it still has a couple levels that are pretty big. I mean, the city chase one we did, it's more on rails, but it's like a really fun set piece level.
And you also got a good view of the skybox.
Yeah, that's a good point. Delta Halo has some pretty rad encounters, and then towards the end of the game, I don't remember the name of the level, but I think it's like the second to last mission where you're just like cruising through a really big level and there's like a lot of flood enemies in your way. That's a real good one for that sense of scale, like you're really feeling a big big chunk of the Halo ring to go stop the. Go ahead, George.
I said, when me and you were on the highway chasing the Scarab, we had our choice of like, okay, do we take the tank, the Jeep, or the Ghost? And it was just this weird moment of like, we weren't chatting on voice chat, but we were just kind of, our avatars were just kind of like twitching back and forth. I'm like, I don't, it's all so cool. Which one do I jump into?
Yeah, you got the tank. I took a Ghost. It worked out well.
Beautiful.
Unfortunately, the multiplayer, so my experience was pretty good. I noticed some issues where I would throw a grenade and just not see it come out for a couple seconds. And then like, I think it would explode. So it was working, but I wasn't getting the visualization. A lot of people on Reddit, on forums, granted, I say a lot of people, this could only be affected, but you know, the people who run into problems are the most likely to speak up. Have identified an issue where if a couple people are looking at the ground server, certain weapons like the rocket launcher and I think grenades will auto target somebody. It's a really weird glitch, but basically you can get hit by something that wasn't aimed at you in this very specific circumstance and like can be insecure.
Video games.
A rocket, for example.
Hey man, it's war.
Yeah.
So it's a really weird bug. Obviously not ideal for multiplayer. No. Maybe not something people are going to be really deliberately exploiting, but can easily ruin matches if it happened.
Yeah. Okay.
It's also I'm not sure if it was related. I think it was related to this bug. There's also like, if you kill an enemy, sometimes it gets credited as a betrayal on your team.
What?
Mate, for that sense. And then there were some other like smaller things, like hit registration, I think is either off and hit some issues. So one of these bugs, the people looking at the ground one in the fest. So it was something that somehow popped up between when they were doing their beta testing just a couple weeks ago and release date this week. So like, you know, some forgiveness there, like shit happens with launched, right? But there were quite a few of these other like smaller issues that they knew were there coming out of the flighting test, and they are like working on them. They've said like, these are known issues, they're in our issue tracker, we're working on fixes. But I kind of feel like they should have just waited another couple weeks to release this game and fixed some of that stuff, because I think it's a real bummer for Halo 2, which has maybe the most popular multiplayer in the series, Halo 3, to be launching in like a state where me and a lot of other people are probably going to be like, I'm going to wait a few weeks for them to, you know, fix some of this stuff before I really try to spend much time playing it.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a bummer, but at least the team has shown sort of like, this open development, semi-open development, has displayed that, you know, they're taking these issues pretty seriously and working on them constantly. And rejiggering these older games for new platforms is far more complex than I think the average person realizes. And Wes has some pretty good features about just stuff that doesn't translate when you're bringing a console game to PC, let alone, you know, one that's 15 years old and part of a greater package. There's a lot to consider. So
yeah, and it's had its own full suite of matchmaking and just its own level of weirdness as far as multiplayer is concerned.
Because all of the stuff they built for Master Chief Collection is like, it's like a translation layer that then connects to the old games. So the old games basically still think that they're like talking to Xbox Live or something like that. Like they think they're talking to this old network model, except it's actually this very new clean model that then connects to it. And so it's like the Xbox thinks, or the original game thinks like, oh yeah, I'm talking to a player hosted server off somebody's, you know, cable modem, but it's actually going to a dedicated server, you know, in one of Microsoft's
like, there's something kind of fucked up about that. It's like, that's like a Matrix level. Like,
it is kind of wild.
Just believe.
There was actually a good example in their like known issues for Halo 2 that just caught my eye. That was something like certain tree foliage is not appearing on like old NVIDIA graphic if you're playing with like the Halo 2 classic graphic.
Right.
It just goes to show, like, it speaks to what you were just saying, James, of like how complicated it is to take this thing that was originally programmed for the Xbox and then translated to a newer generation of Xbox with there and then translated to PC where you have infinite configuration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your hard and PU is just like, sometimes the trees don't show up and you don't know why. you gotta figure out how to fix it.
James, do you want to go back in time a little bit and just so we get a sense of how old we are? Do you want to know what other hot game releases were out in 2004?
Oh my God, sure, hit me.
Bam, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Oh my God,
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft came out
that year.
Oh my God,
Doom 3.
That's Fable. What the real PC gamers Fable, play. Doom 3,
Metal Gear Solid 3.
Okay.
Far Cry, the first of the Far Cry.
The first fucking Far Cry? Oh my God.
The first of the goddamn Far Cry. Call of Duty, Finest Hour.
I think that was an expansion for the first game, right? So
yeah, Battlefield Vietnam.
That sounds right.
Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. Oh my God. And I did not mention it, last but not least, Half-Life 2.
That's a good year for video games. Holy shit. Right?
Yeah. So Half-Life 2 was like a week before or after Halo. They were like a week apart.
Yeah, that was...
I did not have an Xbox, so I didn't even play Halo, the campaigns, until my friends, like, let me, and much later on. So Half-Life was, like, kind of my thing, but that's wild. Speaking of, I kind of want to, like, so, I don't know, the overall impression I get is that this is a pretty good package. Could have been better with a couple more weeks, but it will probably be fine in the short term.
I hope someday we see Halo 2 modding happen. I mean, Halo 1 already has somewhat of a mod scene due to the old PC version. I would love to see somebody, if it's possible, do maps into the Halo 2 anniversary engine. I mean, they would probably have to pick them, would be a ton of work, I'm sure. So probably won't ever happen, but maybe it will, and it would be really cool to be able to play full Halo 2 within a much nicer, more modern engine.
Absolutely. It's my favorite way to play CS is modded games anyway. So like getting some like kind of gun games and weird experimental layouts would be fucking rad. But,
yeah, I'm hoping for like Forge support like they had in that later Halo games, where you can just kind of go in and make your own damn level, which would be neat. But like this, Halo 2 Anniversary is such a nostalgia hit where it's, we talked about it earlier, it's such a good like time capsule of like, yeah, this is what shooters did. This was the top tier shooter of the time. It's like left trigger through grenades, and there was no iron sights on your guns.
Yeah.
And Master Chief moved at the pace of a whale. It was just.
Yeah. It's very walking sim speed. It's like,
I love
Dear
it.
Esther, but guns.
Yeah. Sprint ruined Halo.
I agree. I love the slow pace. I love it. It's just, it's very jarring. You know, because everything is speed now. Wow, I sound like an old guy. Everything is speed now in these shoes. I kind of want to know though. Do you guys have a favorite map? Is there like a go-to map that kind of sticks with you in your memories? Because I think that informs a lot of like
specifically Halo 2.
Yeah, specifically Halo 2. I think it informs a lot of sort of how you played this game and who you played it with, depending on the map. Because some are like very lackadaisical, just capture the flag for hours and who gives a shit, and some are hyper focused arena shooter, nonstop action team play kind of oriented maps. And I want to know where y'all sit.
Go first, George.
I'm gonna go with two. My go-to deathmatch map was Ivory Tower. Ivory Tower is an excellent multi-layered map. A lot of good places. It's just a small map where, and I think there was a rocket launcher at the tippy top of the map and a sword at the very bottom, and never the two shall meet. And then there was a fountain which was like, if you got to the top, you got a good sniper sniping alley. And it was, devolved into such a mess. It's such a good map.
It is a tight map. It's funny because, like, I don't remember it at all. so it just goes to show. I played a shit ton of Halo 2. Wow.
It was a great map for, like, Oddball or, because it was just a lot of chasing around. And then, of course, I love me an asymmetrical map. So, like, Zanzibar.
Okay.
I think Zanzibar is maybe one of the best made objective maps ever. Just because you had an actual base, a beach landing, so you had the invaders come from one area, and you had to protect just protect your base. Either your flag was there, or they had to arm a bomb, and you had all these little choke points and areas that you could hold. There was that fan that you could blow the bridge, mm-hmm. and you could tip it over, and people can come through with the sword and the stealth camo, or they can just all hop in vehicles and just try to go straight in. Oh, it was so good, man.
I like Zanzibar. Yeah, I can feel that. Zanzibar is sort of, it's not my favorite map, but it's the one, I think of Halo 2, I think of that big wheel. It kind of just like appears in my mind.
Yeah, you can ride it up.
Okay, so there's so many good Halo 2 maps. Yeah. Ivory Tower is great, Ascension is great, Zanzibar is amazing. And so my answer from my head is Lockout.
Yeah,
Lockout is maybe the best. Just like pure deathmatch, or it was good for objective stuff too, but just like pure tight arena map. But my heart says Containment, which I don't know if it holds up. I don't know that it is truly a great
the
map,
ice one,
but
right?
It was one of the ice one. Yes. It was one of the later MatPat Max, by far the biggest map in Halo 2, maybe the biggest map in a Halo game outside of like modded maps. It's just this really big, really asymmetrical map where you have two gigantic bases stretching between them, and it was definitely just an objective game map. I mean, you could play air on it, but it was designed for capture the flag or bomb, and it had these two bases for little bits of interactivity in maps. Like I love the Zanzibar the wheel thing where you blow down the bridge. I loved in, this is a deep cut, but in Command and Conquer Tiberian Sun, you could build walls at a gate, and like you'd send your troops out and the gate would automatically lower for your troops to go through. And I thought that was just the cool 12 or whatever. So Containment has these two big each base has a giant door for it that you would open up so that you could drive your warthogs out. And if you were like really sneaky, you could sneak into the other team's base and open up the door so that you could then like bring your whole squad in through this giant gaping hole in their defensive wall. So we would play, I played some really fun custom game, like 16 player CTF matches on Containment that would last for, you know, an hour or something. Those are some of my fondest memories.
Oh man, so many really long big maps. Oh man.
Yeah, I'm basic, and I'm a classic kind of guy, and Coagulation is for me. I just, you know, Blood Gulch got me real good. First Halo, and Coagulation, just like, I just love the simple kind of open hilly terrain, the bases, the kind of like, again, the interplay of just the vehicle interplay and politics, you might call them, of just like who controls the warthogs and trying to kind of steal both of them is always fun. It's just total chaos.
That map had a point of no return if they got away from your flag in a car. And if they were just out of grenade chucking range, which was like just over past the hill, you were just kind of like, you had to concede it. And it was like, all right, we lost this one. Let's either counter or brace for another attack. Oh, that's so good. The anniversary edition version of that map has the Hornets on there, the big flying helicopter things that can take, you have a pilot, so you can fire machine guns, missiles, and you can carry two extra dudes on you to fly over. So you can do just these airdrops on the base.
Okay.
Or work with your team and just go, they grab their warthog and their ghost, and you just have this weird convoy of like death that heads over. That is just
I just love
it's
that,
magical.
Right?
It's magical when it shows up.
It's just like it's a totally different sort of vibe than the condensed arena shooter energy. You know, on Bloodline or Coagulation, Blood Gulch, often you just kind of hear like a din, just a low din of the distant gunfire. Sometimes you might hear silence, or you just hear like the Warthog engine getting closer and louder. And I don't know. I like that kind of dynamism. It's a lot of highs, a lot of lows. Sometimes it's fucking boring and you get into a big standstill forever. But like kind of seeing everyone go through the emotional. Some of these CTF games lasted so long that you could just trace everyone's sort of emotional energy and literally build counterattacks or you know, offensive or defensive maneuvers around the perceived energy in the lobby. And you don't really kind of get that time to breathe in a lot of modern shooters, I think.
There's this amazing exploit you could do in Coagulation before they put out an update for Halo 2, mm-hmm. Which was maybe 6 months into its life or something. I don't remember how long, where I think I'm remembering this right. You could, so there was like a kind of like a garage underneath the base, just like an empty pit. And then you mm-hmm. would ride a little jump jet up to the level where the flag was in the middle of the base. And if you drove down in there and parked your Warthog and then got up on top of it, or if you like jumped on somebody's head, you could jump up to the ceiling and grab the flag through the floor if you found like just the right spot. Like they extended the
Colossus had a similar glitch where if you captured their flag and you threw it and it landed on the conveyor belt at just the right way, the flag would actually bounce all the way over to your side of the base. So what you do is you just organize your team in a way. It's like, all right, I'm going to toss this flag, and you see bloop and it goes over. Oh man.
The flag bounce. So good. Beautiful.
Flag bounce.
Loved it.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I'm getting excited to get all hyped up to get into some Halo 2 tonight or this weekend. I think it's going to be the thing I do. Well, I don't know. First, like everyone has their, it's kind of like eating an Oreo. Do you go with a Halo game? Do you go through the campaign first? Do you do a co-op before you dive into multiplayer? Or are you guys just going to mix it up?
Multiplayer for me. I know that campaign is real good. I mean, all the Arbiter stuff with Keith David, just being super Keith David about it.
Yeah. Playing himself, basically.
And then that's when like the game's lore gets like so far up its own butt with like the grave mine and all all the alien politics that are happening, because like I love the backstory of the Arbiter being like he was the commander who was supposed to kill Master Chief in the first game, mm-hmm. but he messed up, so basically they cast him out as a heretic for not killing Master Chief, and then somehow has to work with Master Chief to beat the grave mine. And it was just that weird bait and switch of mm-hmm. like, wait, there's another character in this game I can play as. Like, oh,
pretty good moment.
That was a very good moment.
Yeah.
I think I'll jump into some multiplayer this weekend, assuming the bugs aren't too much of a problem.
And, yeah.
I don't know, maybe get some of my old multiplayer buddies to do a camp through, because I've played that campaign many, many, many times, but it's been a few years. So might be time for another run.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. I might save it for a rainy day, but multiplayer is where it's at for me right now. Too deep into Persona 5 to play anything else anyway. So done for. But Halo 2, it's out. I'm kind of surprised the pace at which they're releasing these. I thought it would be padded out maybe over the year a bit longer. I can't complain. I can't. And next up, we got the big one. Halo 3, it sounds like, for you, Wes, and George.
The other big one, yeah.
Yeah, the other big one, for sure.
Oh, well, I wonder how long that one's going to take. Probably a little more time.
Yeah, because that was the one on the 360, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be graphics. Ooh, they're going to be wild. I love seeing these. There's in these games, there's these moments, especially, you know, these remastered games, where you know you, in the early game especially, they frame a shot in such a way to like show you scale or show you the graphics. Like it's clearly meant to be a showpiece scene, and how those shots specifically age or hit now is very funny. Like in Halo 2, looking out into space and seeing like this big fucking battle. And I remember that feeling so
vivid and real. And press tab in Halo 2 Anniversary to turn off the new textures, and it's just like a bunch of blocks kind of just like, bumping against each other. Like, goddamn. All right. Oh, well. Any closing thoughts on Halo 2? Anything, great memories or things you're looking forward to? Or is,
I'm just looking forward to seeing Halo 3 at really high resolution.
Yeah. Yeah.
It exists on the Xbox. Like, you can play it at 4K on the Xbox One, which is rad. But that game, when it originally came out, ran at like 540p because they did this really fancy lighting tech at the time. So it was low res for the time it came out in 2007. So the resolution has not aged well. But thanks to fancy new technology, we can see that game as it should be. And you know what? I think it still looks pretty good. Except for the faces, which are the human faces, are really bad.
Yeah, like pretty weird.
Miranda and Johnson, Lord Hood look real ugly.
Pretty damn weird.
Lord Hood is weird. Yeah, I think all this Halo just got me excited for more Halo.
recursive.
I was just like, damn it! Just when I thought I'd like stop giving a shit about Halo, I'm like, oh right,
they pulled really, you back in.
I was like, I really love this dumb sci-fi franchise of essentially space fascists.
yeah. Well,
they kidnap children and turn them into super soldiers. Did we forget that? We're just like, cool. This is awesome.
Neato. It's cool. Yeah. And we're gonna get. Is Halo Infinite still a 2020 game?
Supposedly. They've shown so little of it, but
yeah, weird.
I think they're gonna go, and I would be surprised, because I think the later Halo games have been very reactive to like kind of what's going on in the shooter. Like remember when Halo 5 introduced that Warzone mode?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Call of Duty Warzone, but it was very much to counter like what Battlefield was doing with these big sprawling objective-based maps where you did them almost like in tiers and stages.
Yeah.
They'd had a mode similar to that. So I would not be surprised if we saw some weird version of like a Halo battle royale of like 100 Spartans drop down to a map.
There's going to be something big. And like, you know, when you say that, I initially kind of flinch and go, no, battle royale's over. It's not over, but like there's not enough space, you know, and it won't work. But Call of Duty like kind of killed it. And I didn't think it would. And so, you know, I'm curious to see like what a large scale Halo would feel like and play like.
Yeah. They basically just patched together all their maps to make a giant one so they can realistically do it. Yeah. Give me like a full like climate change of Halo where you start at like Blood Gulch, but you end up in containment where all the snow.
Whoa.
That's an interesting idea. I think they've thought that this was from like a year or two ago. And who knows? Like, I agree that they're definitely going to do something with this game that they're gonna try to introduce either something new or like make a pretty dramatic just the classic Halo multiplayer, because they want it to be a big impact game for sure.
Exciting times for a bunch of dorks looking back on the games of their youth. Halo 2, I'll get you two back on for Halo 3, but that's about all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining me, George and Wes. Go follow them on their Twitters and such, which will be embedded in the show notes. That's it for the PC Gamer Show this week. You can catch us on youtube.com/PCGamer for the VOD. You can go to Spotify, iTunes, look up the PC Gamer Show, and you'll find us there. Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts, really. You can go to pcgamer.com/tag/podcast for our archive of shows, as well as the RSS feed, anchor.fm feed. Again, however you like to listen, we got you. Until next week. And it's going to be slow, right? There's no more games. This is kind of like...
The games are done. That's it.
Games are done?
This was the last game, yeah.
It's kind of the last game.
Last game ever released.
We'll figure out something to talk about next week, I'm sure. But until then, don't forget to what?
Halo 1.